Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. That's where we're going to start this morning. We're going to look for the next 3 weeks, today, the next week, and the next week, we're going to look at our Savior Jesus Christ. Three aspects about Him. Here's what we're going to see. Three aspects of Christ. First, this morning, we're going to see the greatness of Christ. We're going to look at Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. It's a three-part study on Christ, sort of a little bit unique way of putting this together. We're going to see His greatness. Then next week, we're going to look at the glory of Christ. That's found in Luke. It shouldn't say Christ Luke. It should say the glory of Christ. Luke 9, 28 through 36. And then the third thing we're going to see, which will be the next week after that, is the cross of Christ. So we see His greatness, His glory, and the cross. And that'll be Galatians 6:14, but we'll look at some other places, of course. We realize that the message of the Bible centers on Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God who came to this earth. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer of mankind. He is the Mediator between man and God. He has reconciled us back to God. So what we want to do is take a little bit of time and focus on Him. For these next 3 weeks, what I'm going to do next week, I'm going to have a handout, if I don't forget, but I'm going to have a handout, which are some suggested studies that we'll do after Christmas when we come back at Sunday school. And so if you're interested, I'll have a list of some things, but I'll also have a blank that says if you want to put down something that you want, and what you do is just everybody mark on which studies they want, and we'll study those studies in Sunday school. So that's where we are. Can we have it put back? Yeah, you could put it back up. We'll have it in the next couple of weeks. This is the one for today is just the greatness of Christ. So the greatness, the glory, and the cross, and we'll see those in the next few weeks. Today we're going to begin to focus on Christ. The book of Hebrews is a special book. If you remember, the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish believers. It was written probably around or before 70 AD because the temple is still standing, the best we can tell. They were undergoing persecution. But the purpose of the letter, now just think about this before we think about the greatness of Christ. The purpose of the letter was to remind these Jewish believers how great Jesus was, that He's better than anything. If you were with us at all on Wednesday nights, we did the book of Hebrews over probably three quarters of a year on Wednesday nights, and we just finished it not too long ago. But the whole study of Hebrews kept going back and forth to the great point that Jesus is better than anything. So as we look at this morning, we want to look at Hebrews 1, and we want to see the greatness of Jesus Christ. Well, Christmas is coming. We focus on our Savior. We think about the birth of Jesus Christ. He's indeed the greatest person ever born. There's no doubt about that. He's the perfect God and the perfect man. He's God who became a man so He could save us. As you look at Hebrews chapter 1, we're just going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3, and we're going to see so much tied into who Jesus is. We're going to see a description of Christ. We're going to see what He did and who He is and all of these things. The goal, of course, to the writer of the Hebrews, he wrote to these people, he wanted them to see that so they'd go into maturity. I guess the same thing for us. We look at it, we say, look, we want to grow, we want to look at who Jesus is, and we want to be excited about it, especially when we think about this time of the year. So this one is the greatness of Christ. Let me give you the outline. There's a little outline I've got for you. The greatness of Christ, of Jesus Christ outline. First of all, we're just only going to look at three verses. God has revealed Himself. God has spoken. That's verse 1. And then we're going to see seven things about Christ in verses 2 and 3. They tie into what God did, what Jesus Christ is like, and Christ's work. So those three things tie together. And we're going to see seven things about Christ. So if you had a piece of paper, and I don't know if you do or not, but we're going to list seven things about Christ today as we see how great He really is. Well, let's begin. Look at Hebrews 1. Look at verse 1. It says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways. Now, this is how it starts off by saying, God has spoken. And He has. Long ago in the past, Prof. Hendricks used to say, and you've heard me quote this before, he says, God has spoken and He's not stuttered. And it's true. God has given us information. He is the Creator. Romans chapter 1 says that you can see from the creation His eternal power and Godhead. He has spoken to us. And this he says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions in many ways, he says God has used and spoken in different ways, in different times. But look at verse 2. But in these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, people get confused and they always ask questions like, do you think we're in the last days? Well, the truth is, any time after Jesus Christ came to this earth is the last days. When Jesus came and lived on this earth and then died and was buried and rose again, from that point on is the last times. That's why the writer of the Hebrews says, in the past He's spoken, but in these last days He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is unique. I don't want you to, unless your Bible's like mine, where you just have to turn one page, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Notice how it describes Jesus. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, and notice, the apostle and high priest of our confession. The apostle is the one that represents God to man, and the high priest is the one who represents man to God. He is the mediator as both the prophet and the priest, the great high priest and the prophet, and he represents God to us, and he represents us back to God. That's what Jesus does. Now, very powerful passage, because it goes on. Let me just read for you. Look, verse 2 says, in these last days he's spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He is the radiance of his glory. He's the exact representation of his nature. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He made purification for our sin. He's set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I read that pretty quickly, but there are seven things about Christ in that. Let me give you, there's a slide that we've got, seven things about Christ, and it is, okay, seven things about Christ, and I'm going to show you in a different way in just a minute, but the first thing is we're going to see what God did through Christ, and that's the first one. He appointed him heir, and he's the creator. That's first part of verse 2. Then what Christ is like, that's he is light, and he is God, and then we see what Christ did. He upholds, he redeems, and he mediates. Those seven things that we see as we go through this study. So there's a lot of things there. And as we go through it, we'll have to go fairly quickly because we don't have a whole lot of time in the class. But if you do have a question, comment, input, anything, just stop me and we'll talk about it. So the things that we're looking at this morning are these seven things about Jesus Christ as seen in Hebrews 1, basically verses 2 and 3. Let's look at the first thing. I think we've got what God did through Christ. And here's number one, he appointed him heir of all things. Notice, in these last days he's spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Now, God made Christ the heir of everything. That means he inherits everything. That means all things belong to him. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All things belong to him. In fact, Psalm 72 verse 8 says, he shall have dominion from sea to sea, from the rivers to the ends of the earth. Jesus Christ owns everything. Everything belongs to him. Even in the land of Israel, if you've ever studied and you'd say, well, didn't God give the land to the Jews and then they divided it up among the 12 tribes? It's true. But if you read carefully, God says even that land is his and he lets them live on it. The truth is, everything belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the heir of all things, given to him by Father. Psalm 2 verse 8 says, God states that everything goes to his Son. So the nations, the peoples, the ends of the earth as his possession. So the very first thing we have to realize is that he has dominion over everything. Everything belongs to Jesus Christ. See, sometimes we live our lives as if we think it belongs to us. We think our things belong to us. We think our life belongs to us. First of all, our life doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Christ. Our things don't belong to us. They belong to Christ. We're just stewards of them. He has just entrusted us with them at this time. I want you to understand that one time man had dominion over the earth. If you remember in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our image, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl, over the creeping things, over the cattle, over everything. He put man on the earth and gave man dominion over this earth. But man lost it because of the fall. And so we have the second great man, whose first man was Adam. The second Adam is Jesus Christ. And he has come and he reclaims ownership over the whole world. He is heir of all things. He is the perfect man, and he takes everything back. He is the heir of the world. So the very first thing that we see is everything belongs to Jesus. Now stop and think for a second. What is that? How does that affect your life? Well, number one, that means that when on Christmas and they give you a present, it's not really yours. You go, I got a brand new razor. Well, it's really God's razor, and he's just letting me use it. I mean, isn't that true? Everything we got, everything we have comes from God. He's the heir of all things. When this is all over, what's he going to do with this heavens and earth? What's he going to do with the heavens and the earth? He's going to destroy it. He's going to make a new heavens and new earth. Nothing's going to last. The only things that last, the word of God and people. So he's heir of all things. Everything belongs to him. All things, all people, we need, in fact, there are people, and you know this, there are people, first of all, who live their life as if God doesn't exist. And then there are Christians who live their lives as if we're in control of what we do and that this stuff belongs to us and our life belongs to us. It doesn't. Everything belongs to him. He's the heir of all things. There's a second thing. is He's the Creator. This is what God did through Christ. He's the Creator. God created the world through Jesus Christ. Notice the verse. In these last days He's spoken to us through some whom He appointed heir of all things. That's the first one. Here's the second one. Through whom? Through Jesus also He made the world. He is the Creator of everything. Now, Colossians 1:16 and 17 says, all things were made by Him, through Him, and for Him, and through Him all things exist. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, all things came into being by Him, and not anything that has ever come into being came into being except through Him. That means anything that's ever existed, Jesus Christ created it. He's the Creator. Now, if you're the Creator, you're also the owner of it all. That's why He's both the Creator and the very first thing that we see a while ago is the everything belongs to Him in that sense. Now, here's something special about a word. Notice where it says, and through whom He also made the worlds. There's a Greek word there, aeons, which has an idea not so much of a created world, although it's referring to that. This even refers to the times, the epochs. He is the Creator of every aspect of everything that is to come. He controls it all. He's not just talking about our world, but even the ages, the time, the plan, the time periods. He not only does everything, everything belongs to Him. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Creator. How did He do it, by the way? He did what? He spoke it into being, didn't He? And God said? See, in Genesis 1:1, the emphasis is on the Father, and God said, let there be light. In Genesis 1:2, the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. But in Colossians and in John, the emphasis is on Jesus Christ. All things were created by Him, for Him, and through Him. He's the Creator. And so in Hebrews, it says, and through Him also He made the world. God made the world through Jesus Christ. It's incredible. The greatness of Christ. Now think about it. What have we seen? Everything belongs to Him. He's the heir of all things, and He's the Creator of all things. I think they go together. Because if you created it, it belongs to you. Everything is His. He created it, and God says everything comes back to you. So when we wake up in the morning and we go through life, we realize this is God's world, God's life, God's everything. J. Vernon McGee used to make a joke. He'd say, if you don't like God's world and stuff, just go somewhere else then. But there's nowhere else you can go. Because everything is His. That's the first thing on the greatness of Christ. Here's the second aspect on the greatness of Christ is, what is Christ like? And as he starts verse 3, he begins to describe Him. Notice it says, and He is the radiance of His glory. The second thing of it, He's the light. He's the radiance of His glory. When you think of Jesus Christ, you think of light. He is the light. He is the shining of God. He is the brightness. In fact, the way it's written really, it says, and He is the brightness, the outshining of His glory. He is the one that sends forth the light. Jesus Christ is indeed the light of the world. You know, when you look in the Bible, there's always a contrast between light and darkness. And you go to the Gospel of John. John makes a big contrast. He talks about in Him was life, and He is the light of the world, talking about Jesus. And then he says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. All the way through the book of John, there's this contrast between light and darkness, and Jesus is the radiance of His glory. He is the light of the world. There's something special about it, though. Notice that when it says He's the outshining, if you notice the verse, it says He is the radiance of His glory. That Greek word means the outshining of His glory. That's the difference between the sun and the moon. Now, the moon reflects light. The sun gives off the light. Jesus is not reflecting the glory of God. He is giving off the glory of God. He's like the sun rather than the moon. So when Jesus, as he says right here, He is the radiance of His glory, that means Jesus is giving off the light of God, because He is the light of God. John 3:19 says, He is the light that has come into the world. It's pretty incredible. John says that He is the light of men, He is the way, He is the glory, He is the light of the world. He shines forth the glory of God. So what's He like? He's light. Let me ask you something. If Jesus Christ was here, let me ask you this. If Jesus Christ appeared here right now, right there, what would happen? We would all what? We'd all fall on our faces. The glory of God is beyond our comprehension. Now, while He was on this earth as a human being, He veiled His glory. Now, John says, we saw his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw his glory. In fact, at certain times, John and some others saw his glory, and that was on the Mount of Transfiguration when he turned so white that they couldn't look at him. Remember? He unveiled his glory just a little bit there. But you can't look at the glory of God in these bodies and live. I think that's one reason we're going to get a glorified body, so that we can see the glory of God. You remember when Moses said, I want to see your glory, I want to see your glory, and what did God say to glory to Moses? You can't see my glory and live. However, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll go by and I'll let you see my back. But you can't really see me, because if you see it, you'll die. So if Jesus Christ appeared here in all his glory, we'd not only be on our faces, we'd probably all be dead. But when Jesus was on this earth, and of course the writer of Hebrews is trying to help them understand who he is, and he says he's the radiance of his glory. His point is Jesus is God. There's no separation there. There's no difference. He is God. When you think of light, first of all, you think of salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. He shows the way of salvation. But you think of holiness as well. I think there is no darkness. So in that idea, you think of Jesus and you say, wow, he is the exact radiance of his glory. He is the outshining of his glory. The Philippians passage in Philippians chapter 2 is a famous passage beginning about verse 5. It says, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and humbled himself. That passage is talking about how Jesus left the glories of heaven and became a person. And there's a concept there that there's a Greek word called kenosis, which has a word to empty. And the real question is, what did Jesus empty of himself? I don't think he emptied in the sense of saying, okay, when I go to the earth, I'm going to cease to be God because he's always God. I think what he did is he emptied himself of his glory because he veiled that glory while he was on the earth. Writer Hebrews is not doing that. He's saying, by the way, he is the radiance of his glory. When people talk about Jesus as the man upstairs, they're not understanding who he is. He is the outshining light of God. That's who he is. He's God. There's a fourth thing, I think, what Christ is like. He is the exact representation of his being. Notice what he says. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. You might say, we'd put it this way, he is exactly God. He is the expressed image of God. When you see Jesus, you see God. You know, there's something that we believe to be true, but we do not comprehend it. And that is what we call the Trinity, that there is one God with what? Three persons. Yeah, three persons. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit God? Is the Father God? Is the Son God? Is the Son and the Father the same? No, they're not. Not in that sense, right? Because isn't the Father and the Son separate beings? Is the Holy Spirit separate from the Father and separate from the Son? And yet are they all one God? And so we go, how can that be? You can't have three and one at the same time. And we go, because and God says, well, you're finite and I'm infinite. You won't understand it. But when we see that Jesus is the exact representation of his nature, all he's trying to say is that if you see Jesus, who are you seeing? You're seeing God. When Jesus walked on this earth, there was God walking on the earth with people in a human body. 100% human, 100% God. He is the exact representation. That's why when Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. When he said, I and the Father are one. When they wanted to kill him, they wanted to kill him because they said, you being a mere man have made yourself out to be God. That's exactly why they wanted him crucified. The Jewish people want him crucified because he's God. Because he said he was God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's God. He's the exact representation of God. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, does God... the Father have a body? What did you say? No. Does God the Holy Spirit have a body? Huh? Well, I'm not asking does he indwell a body. I'm saying does he have a body? She said ours. Yeah, he lives inside of us. the Son, Jesus Christ, who up to a point in time was a spirit being, does he have a body? He does. He took on flesh. That's what's incredible. I want to just throw something out. We've got just a second. In Deuteronomy 4, 11 and 12, God made an appearance to the nation of Israel at a mountain. And he came and there was just this big cloud and fire and thunder. And Moses went up in there, came back down. But it says nobody saw what God looked like. And God says, I won't ever show you a form, because if I did, what would you do? You'd make an idol of it. That's what he says in that passage. Okay, we got to go. We got to go faster. All right, now, we've got, so far, what God did through Jesus, made him the heir and created the world. What is Christ like? He shines forth the exact image of God. Now, here's number three. What Christ did. There's three things here, 5, 6, and 7. Number one, he upholds all things. Notice what it says. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Not only does Jesus, the creator of everything, he is the sustainer of everything. Colossians 1:17 says, through him all things exist, and literally goes on to say, and holds together. What keeps all this together? What keeps all these little molecules and protons and neutrons and electrons? And man, they found things. That was when I was in college. They found a lot more things that are a lot littler than that in there. What keeps all that together? What keeps it together? What keeps you on this earth? How does gravity work? How does all this work? What keeps the earth from just... What keeps all this going? God does. Jesus Christ does. He upholds all things by his word. Not only did his word speak it into being, his word holds it together. That's something we don't always think about, but this is what it says. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. By his word he created, by his word he sustains. Sometimes I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, you're the creator, redeemer, sustainer. That means he keeps it all together. Keeps it all going. It's powerful. Number six. He's the Redeemer. Notice what it goes on to say. He had made, when he had made purification of sin. The word purification there means to purge, to pay. To pay is to redeem. He is the Redeemer. He has paid the price. Now you realize that Jesus Christ paid the price. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ paid the price. 1 John 2:2. He is the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. That's 1 John 2:2. He's the payment for our sins. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Hebrews 10 says, when he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down. It is finished. He's the Redeemer. Now, there we could spend days on redemption. Because it means to purchase by paying a price. The price is the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But this passage, all he just says, when he had made purification for our sin, when he had paid the price, when he purged or paid that great price, he did one final thing. And that's number seven. He's the mediator. He sees the right hand of the Father. Notice, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The work is finished on the earth. He's got another job to do. He is the mediator. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he makes intercession for us. He is our advocate and our intercessor. I don't have anything under that, do I? Okay. There are two things that he does as the mediator. He's our advocate when we sin, 1 John 2:2. And he is our intercessor when we need to go to him, Hebrews 7:25. So I want you to understand that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father as the mediator. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You can go to God through Jesus as your advocate. But there's a second thing, that when you just want to talk to him, when you just want to go to God, when you just got any prayer request or anything you want to do, he's the mediator. Hebrews 7:25 says he lives forever to make intercession for us. He makes intercession. So you can come to God and you can say, God, I like this and this and this and this and this. And then you say, in Jesus' name I pray, because he's your intercessor. He's the go-between, the mediator. So when you bring a request to God the Father, Jesus Christ is your go-between. That's why he is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What have we seen? What did God God do? He appointed Jesus heir of all things, and he created the world. What did Christ like? He is the light, the exact image of God, the glory of God in the exact image. And then what did he do? He holds everything together. He redeemed us from sin, making the price, paying the price, and he is our intercessor, our mediator. So I think I've got one application as we start this three-part study on Jesus. Never take Christ for granted. The greatness of Jesus Christ, he made everything. Everything belongs to him. He is the outshining of God. He is the one who rules, and when you've seen him, he's the exact representation of God. He has dealt with our sin. He keeps everything together, and he is the mediator sitting at the right hand of the Father for us. It's incredible. So let's come boldly to the throne of God to make our request known. We see the greatness of Jesus Christ. Don't take him for granted now. It's getting close to Christmas time, and so at Christmas time, we think about the baby Jesus being born in Bethlehem. But that baby born in Bethlehem is the Creator and the one who inherits all things and the one who is the outshining of the glory of God and the one who redeems and the one who upholds and the one who puts everything together and is the mediator and is the outshining of the glory of God. Such powerful. Let me pray. And then I know that's the second bell, but if you've got a question, we'll do it. Heavenly Father, help us as we begin to think about our Savior Jesus in this Christmas time and this first one, Lord, as we think about the greatness of Christ, that you indeed, Lord, and when we think about him, he is the creator of all things. He is the heir of all things. He is the light. He is the exact representation. He is the one who upholds. He is the one who redeems. And he is the one who mediates the go-between. Thank you, Lord. May we never take for granted our Savior. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.